Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
I'm joined by stuttering John Melendez. Fans of the Howard Stern Show remember him from his 15-year run on that radio show. He left, became a announcer on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and he now hosts the Stuttering John podcast, and he's done all sorts of stuff in between. And he's also got a new book out. It's called Easy for You to Say by Stuttering John Melendez. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. John, take me back to New York. You grew up in New York area in Long Island. What were you doing before you got the gig on The Stern Show?
Okay, first off, the book doesn't hit the bookstore until November 13th, but you can get it on Amazon now. I was going to NYU, New York University, and I was majoring in film and television, and a friend of mine was interning for Howard, and I said to him, if you should ever leave, please hook me up, and thank God he got into a major car accident, and totaled his car, so I got the gig.
So, you grew up in Long Island, though, so you probably grew up listening to Stern. What did it feel like when you went from knowing the cast only as radio voices to actually working with them every day?
It was the biggest trip in the world, because I was such a big fan, because, in my day, pleasuring yourself was not something that was considered normal, believe it or not. And I would ask my friends if they did, and they would all deny it. So I felt like an outcast. So to turn on Howard and hear him elaborate about it and wax poetic about it, avoid the pun there, I loved him immediately. So to actually get to work for him and Robin and Jackie and Fred, I was just like enamored. It was like the biggest dream come true. And, that's why, even in my book, as revealing as some of the things may be and some of it hard to hear for avid Stern fans, I'll always love Howard and be grateful for the start that he gave me.
When you first got there, you weren't doing your celebrity interviews that you became famous for. You were answering the phone, right?
Yeah, well, a lot more than that. In those days, it was just Gary and I who ran the office. So, Howard would tape every show. So I labeled every tape. I recorded every show. I prepared Howard's lunch, which was just, 4 ounces of turkey and microwave baked potatoes, that I scar cut. I parked Robin's car. I answered the phones. And I logged the show on the computer. A lot of times Gary would show up drunk and then take the mystery guest blindfolds and told me to, hold down the fort. So I was, I did a lot. But I knew that Mitch did the celebrity interviews, and I knew that I would be a perfect fit for it. You got to remember something. My fifth grade teacher wrote on my report card to my mother, John tends to ask outrageous and penetrating questions in class and stutters when excited. So, to have that background, and I was never afraid to ask anybody anything, it was just a perfect fit. So I couldn't wait to the day that Howard said, hey, John, we have some appearances here for Carly Simon, Danny Glover are going to be somewhere. Do you want to do the interviews? It was, again, another dream come true. I was like, yeah.
So is that how it came about, just sort of organically, that you started doing these celebrity interviews?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I interviewed Danny Glover and Carly Simon, and I got to tell you, I stuttered so much that when I left, I thought I failed. I was like, I couldn't even get a question out. I could barely get a question out. I stunk. I brought the tapes into Howard, and when he played it the next day, they couldn't stop laughing, and it was radio gold. And that's when I knew that I had, I had carved a niche into that show. And sure enough, Howard has said to me privately, even, a few years ago, I visited him at his house in the Hamptons, and he said, John, you were the best at it. You're just good at it. And because, I always had a certain amount of charm and respect for these celebrities, which is why at the end of every interview, even if I pissed them off really bad, I would ask to shake their hand. Because to me, it was just like a comedy bit. But, for those of the people in your audience who don't know it, just to give them an example, I asked the Dalai Lama, do people go up to you and say, hello, Dolly? you know, I got strangled by Lou Reed for asking him if he still pleasured himself, and judging by his grip, he did. I got punched in the nose by Raquel Welch for asking her, are they drooping yet? I asked O.J. Simpson if he would sign my knife. Coincidentally, you know, he already had his own. And the best response I ever got was from Joan Rivers. I said, Joan, do you think ugly people should be allowed to have children? And she said, no, and I told your parents that.
Well, we've seen the famous ones on YouTube now, Ted Williams, Jennifer Flowers, the Morton Downey Jr., and they all look like they worked the profession, but were there some of them that were just total busts?
You know, the only time they were busts was when the celebrities knew me, which is why I, like, one of the reasons why I had to start going in disguise, because, you know, if the celebrities knew me, the joke was kind of, you know, they would, you know, they wouldn't get offended, they wouldn't be shocked, and, you know, they wouldn't be taken off guard. So that's the only time it didn't work. When they didn't know me and they had this stuttering moron asking me insane questions, like, you know, I asked Imelda Marcos, you know, when she farts in front of company, does she blame the family dog? I mean, the look on her face is completely in shock, like she's like a cat cornered, you know, by a dog. And I mean, those were the priceless moments of the show. And you know, let's face it, we've had a lot of copycats since that bit. And for your listeners, they should know. I mean, this is pre Ali G, pre Borat. This is pre Between Two Ferns. This is pre Triumph the Insult Dog. I mean, I was doing this way before any of them. And you know, they kind of, you know, took. You know, I don't, like, I would say my act, but it's really Howard's idea to send me out. So they took Howard's idea, but it was just, you know, I was the one doing it. But, you know, I was before any of them. So if your fans, if your listeners just go on YouTube, Stuttering John Interviews, I promise you guys would get a nice big laugh. And I talk about a lot in my book, along with, I mean, a lot of the funny stories when I met these same people who I once pissed off. I met them on The Tonight Show and had an uncomfortable experience with them, you know, with them then, too.
Well, Billy Crystal, for one, he got really mad at you.
Oh, yeah, well, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because Billy Crystal, you know, the question that really threw him off and got him, you know, angry, and he went on a cursing tirade on me and Howard, but the question that got him was, I said, how long were you married before you started cheating on your wife? And he got so mad. It was like, it's not fun, it's not funny. You can take this, you know, tape to effing Howard and stick it up Howard's effing, you know what? And he got really mad. Now, when he was a guest on The Tonight Show, when I was the announcer, I just happened to, you know, I asked Jay. I said, you know, look, I got Billy Crystal really angry at me. Should I send him a basket of chocolate? And Jay was like, no, just avoid him. But it just turns out I was in the makeup room, and Robin Leach, my friend, was there, and he said, Billy, say hello to my good friend, Stuttering John. And there I am, face-to-face with Billy, and I'm, like, stuttering, and I'm like, hey, Billy, I just want to say I'm sorry for that. And he goes, yeah, John, you know, it was my premiere. And I said, well, Billy, listen, if it's any consolation, I loved your movie 51. And he was like, 61, John. The movie was 61. So even when I'm trying to be nice, I managed to put my foot in my mouth. And there's a lot of those kind of instances, you know, in the book. And I'll tell you a great one, Brian, if you want to hear a great Jay Leno one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jay is the best boss you could ever have. I have to preface it with that. He took care of all of his staff. He made sure we got paid even when they wanted him out. I mean, Jay's a stand-up guy and a funnier guy even off the air than he is on the air. But I will say, Jay is the worst when it comes to faces. Like he had Christopher the Bachelorette on the show as a guest, and then he went out to the Midway to get into his car, and Trista came up to him and asked him for a picture, and Jay said, yeah, sure, you know, what's your name? And she's like, Jay, it's Trista, you just interviewed me. But, you know, and that happened with Jay's ex-girlfriend, who he lived with and slept with for 2 years. Adele came up to Jay after they broke up and said, hey, Jay, and he went, hey. She goes, hello, Jay. Hey, hi. Jay, it's Adele. And he's like, oh, Adele. You know, this is a girl who we lived with for But this is the best one, Rod, because, I mean, this is the one out of all that were great, was that Jay was at the Comedy Store. And, you know, George Lopez was always angry at Jay because he felt Jay didn't put him on the show enough. So Jay runs into George Lopez at the Comedy Store and says, look, you know, I just want to say I don't book the guests. You know, it's the executive producer. I have nothing to do with the guests. And the guy looks at Jay and goes, Jay, I'm not George Lopez. I'm Paul Rodriguez. So, you know, there are all these great stories about Jay and his OCD and the book and all the behind the scenes of Howard, why Billy West got fired or left the show, you know, like all these things, why Jackie left and how, you know, and how the place was run like the firm. And you get, you know, the dinners I had with Howard and Ozzy Osbourne. There's just anecdote after anecdote. I'm telling you, you know, if you're a fan of Hollywood, a fan of Howard Stern, a fan of Jay Leno, and a fan of gossip, you will love this book. You know, I mean, I talk about what a horrible person Chelsea Handler is, and, you know, and I talk about what a, you know, a horrible person Jimmy Kimmel is. I mean, you know, I don't hold back, and Jay did my forward, and, you know, Jay, you know, says his best. I'm unfiltered, and this is why you're going to love the book, because I don't hold back on it. I don't worry about lawsuits. Everything in there is true. And you know what? It's also a motivational story, because just, I was an abused stutterer who became the announcer on the biggest late night comedy show in history. And, you know, that's a pretty, you know, crazy thing to happen. And, you know, I've inspired a lot of stutterers and people with impediments and people with disabilities. And, you know, I'm proud of that.
Well, one of the funny stories I read in the book, I mean, there's tons of them, but the stutteringjohn.com website, you ended up having to buy it in an unconventional way from a listener.
Yeah, but, you know, in those days, I didn't have any money. I mean, I wasn't making really that much at Stern, and this guy took stutteringjohn.com, and I said, so I don't know how I got his number, but I got his number, and I just said, hey, dude, could you give me back my, you know, website? And he goes, yeah, do you got any money? And I go, no, I don't have any money. He goes, all right, well, do you have any porn? And I go, well, yeah, because, you know, Howard's show, we always got sent porn. We had, like, a box full of unopened porn. I go, yeah, we have tons of porn. He goes, well, if you give me a box of porn, I'll give you your domain back. I go, all right. So the guy shows up to K-Rock, and I give him the box of porn, and then I got stutteringjohn.com back.
Well, something else I didn't realize, you discovered a ton of these whackpackers that they have now, including Sal the Stockbroker, not a whackpacker, but a cast member.
Yeah, I mean, Sal used to call in, and I would give Sal jokes. A lot of people don't know, I would write Howard jokes all the time. I had a computer in my office, and that went into Howard's you know, studio. So Sal would call in. I'd give him a bunch of jokes. He had a bunch on his own, and almost every one was you know, focused on goofing on Gary and his teeth. And you know, Sal and I became, you know, good friends. But I mean, my favorite one was Jeff the Drunk. Jeff the Drunk, I would try and get him on for 8 months. He would call in, and every time I would go into the studio and go, Howard, you got to pick up on this guy. And Howard would never pick up on him. And then finally, one day he picked up, and that guy was radio gold, that he became a big Whack Pack star on the show.
Well, when you left to take the Tonight Show gig, Howard was mad as hell on the air about it and complained about it and for years and years and years, in fact. But how much of that was shtick versus how he really thought?
You know, I don't think it was shtick. It was sad, because if Howard didn't have such an adverse reaction, and if Howard, you know, didn't beat Jay up so badly, you know, I would have still been a guest on the show and maintained a very good relationship with Howard on the show. But unfortunately, you know, he beat up Jay so bad. I really think he felt that Jay, you know, had betrayed him. But I also think it was a transference of his anger towards me. He had to put it on Jay, because, you know, how dare he goof on me for, you know, leaving a job that was paying me a small salary, you know, salary for a job that was going to pay me $400,000 to $500,000 a year. I mean, you just can't begrudge somebody for doing that. And I did try to tell Howard a year before that, as I had told Robin, but he didn't want to talk to me about it. So, I mean, it was unfortunate that he did beat up Jay, because I felt uncomfortable and bad, because a lot of the, you know, Tonight Show people would listen and tell Jay, and that one day I actually went up to Jay and said, Jay, I'm really sorry about this. And Jay put his hand on my shoulder and said, John, I don't give an F. Don't worry about it. And that was it. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that Howard took that, you know, stance against Jay and myself.
But then Howard's listeners, they're a loyal bunch. And so I think they transferred a lot of Howard's hatred or complaints about Jay into their own hatred of Jay. Do you see the radio listeners as like that? It's almost like a politician that tells their flock, hate this, and so they hate it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, not to get into politics, you know, but, it's similar to what Trump does. If Trump says fake news, then, you know, then all of his followers are going to say fake news. And, yeah, it's just like with Howard. If Howard says the sky is red, then everyone's going to say the sky is red. So if Howard says that Stuttering John stabbed me in the back, then there's a percentage of Howard Stern fans who are going to think I stabbed them in the back. And it couldn't be further from the truth, but it doesn't matter. For instance, let me just give you, this is in the book too, and this is a prime example of this. Howard used to say that Jay stole jaywalking from the homeless game, and I always believed that. You know, as a Howard fan, I believed that the Tonight Show stole jaywalking from the homeless game. And I'm the one who did the first homeless game in 1996 at the Yankee Day Parade after they won the World Series against the Braves. So that was 1996. So when I got to the Tonight Show, I confronted the head writer, Joe Medeiros, and I said, hey, why did you guys steal the homeless game? And he goes, John, we've been doing jaywalking since 1988. So it predates the homeless game. And I was like, and my jaw dropped. I'm like, all these years, I believed what Howard was saying. And it turns out, it was completely false. So, you know, I guess I ask a lot of the Stern fans to just, you know, there are two sides to every story, and sometimes you got to say, you know, maybe this isn't true. You know, maybe Stuttering John isn't such a bad guy. You know, maybe Jackie didn't make the biggest blunder. You know, like, people don't understand what it was like to work there. Like, they don't understand the abuse that Howard and Buchwald would put on us, Howard's agent, Don Buchwald, who I dedicate a whole chapter to, what an idiot that guy is. I wouldn't say idiot, I would say sleazy. But, I mean, these guys would really manipulate us and beat us up. And put it this way, you know, for any Stern fan, and this is the God's honest truth, and, you know, I don't lie. I'm a Catholic kid, and like I'm also OCD. I get very uncomfortable ever telling a lie. And I'll tell you that when I gave my 2 weeks notice, and the last week I was on the show, I was in Gary's office, you know, Gary Delabate, Baba Booey, Gary Delabate's office, and I was in there, and he had his wife, Mary, on the phone. And Mary said, on the speakerphone, she said, John, we are so jealous of you. And that speaks volumes, because that only means Gary wanted to get out of there. Fred at one time wanted to leave to go and audition for SNL. I mean, as great as that show is, don't think that everybody was so content on hearing what losers they are and hearing the abuse that Howard would give us. I mean, I had an abusive dad, you know, who not only put you down but beat the heck out of you. You know, and there I go, but I love my father, and here I go to working for Howard, who I love, but then he would beat you up and call you a loser, an ingrate, a no talent, and it took an effect on your brain, you know, and I would leave sometimes practically in tears, and, you know, so, I know everybody, like a lot of Stern fans, how could you leave the greatest show of all time? Well, if you were there, you would understand, is all I'm saying.
Well, he even sabotaged Artie Lang getting that job outside there, right?
Well, yeah, that's in the book, and that's interesting. So you really did read it. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Oh, thanks. Well, write a good review on Amazon. Are there a lot of Stern fans out there?
There are tons, because, well, he's on Sirius now. We never had him in Iowa as an affiliate.
Yeah, well, because here is the... So if you guys... could recall, Howard you know, was mad at me saying, why didn't I tell him before I signed the NBC contract? And I, you know, look, and for anybody out there, common sense is you don't leave a job before you're secure that you have a new one. So if I would have told Howard before I signed the NBC contract, and then Howard went off on Jay and The Tonight Show, and they got cold feet, I not only would have lost The Tonight Show job, I would have, you know, probably lost the Stern Show job. So I didn't want to risk that Howard would sabotage the gig. Now, and Howard said, that's ridiculous, I would never do that. Okay, well, now you're reading my book. This is straight from Artie Lang's mouth. Artie knows it to be true. But when, I guess, Craig Kilborn was leaving CBS, Rob Burnett asked Artie if he would audition for 2 weeks to be the host of that show. And Artie said he would love to, because that would have been the greatest career move for Artie, to be on national television as a comedian. I mean, that's the most coveted gig in the world. So Artie wanted to do it. But then Rob Burnett got cold feet and said, well, let me just call Howard and make sure it's okay. Rob Burnett called Howard, and Howard ripped him an a-hole and said, how dare you try and steal my guy? No way can you have Artie. So Howard blocked Artie from having that gig. So for anybody to think that he wouldn't have done the same thing to me, I got a bridge to tell you in Brooklyn.
Well, and what's your relationship like with Artie now? I know you guys had your ups and downs.
You know what? I'll always love Artie. You know, my chapter to Artie is Artie Lang, Dr. Jekyll, and Mr. Hyde, the heroine. And the problem with Artie is a loving, big-hearted, sweet guy, but his demons got a hold of him. And when he's on heroin, he becomes nasty, angry, and malicious. And that's what happened with Artie and I. You know, he would go nuts on me and then text me how much he loved me and I'm one of his best friends. And it would go like this, like, on any given day. And so I'll always love Artie. I pray for Artie. I know he is not healthy. I hear rumors that he's using again. And all I can say is I love the man. He is one of the funniest people I've ever known and I've ever worked with. I have no ill feelings towards Artie, but all I can say is I hope he gets off the junk and forgives himself for his father's death and lives a happy life, because, I mean, the man is in serious depression.
And he's just a brilliant comic, too. So
yeah, it's really sad. You know, trust me, you know, I talk about it in the book. You know, when I was on The Tonight Show and Captain Jenks called him with the hoax and said that Artie had died, and the executive producer, Debbie Vickers, pulled me aside and told me Artie had died, I lost it. I was crying. I called over to the hotel and told Ganji to check Artie's room. I hear he's dead. And, you know, so I lived through one of Artie's deaths. I would hate to live through another one. So Artie, get well.
All right. Well, the book, I said, I loved it. I was so entertained by it. I've been a Stern fan, a Leno fan, all that stuff. So it really hit home with me. I mean, it just hit on all the things that I like. The book is Easy for You to Say by Stuttering John Melendez. You can pick it up here after November 16th, anywhere your books are sold. You can order it on Amazon now, and I think they'll probably have it right to your front door on the day it comes out. And go check it out. John Melendez, fantastic book. Thanks for putting it together for us to enjoy, and thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. And I love Iowa, by the way. You know, I was there doing stand up, and I went to the Field of Dreams, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I had a great time in Iowa. So thank you so much.
All right, come back soon.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.